Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D. And tonight we have a very good show, and I have a co-host with me tonight, and her name is Angel. And I'm going to pull Angel up here. Angel, greetings. How are you doing tonight?
Greetings. Good. How are you?
Great, great. And who is our guest that we're having tonight?
Well, tonight we have in Brother Kasim.
He's going to talk about something
that's good for us.
Yay. Okay. He's going to talk about the music industry, vibrations, and how to empower ourselves. And he's going to talk about rituals. And so the number here to call, if you would like to ask him some questions or make some comments later on in the show, you can call 347-215-8041. That's 347-215-8041. And I'm going to pull our guest up here. Kasim Rael. Peace. Greetings.
Peace. How are you, Beverly?
Great, great. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, how are you, Angel?
Good. I'm glad to hear you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back on the show again. You know, I enjoyed myself last time I was on the show with you, and you know, hopefully this show will be just as good, maybe even better than the last one.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just said okay.
Yeah, really want to speak about two things tonight, you know, basically vibration, music, frequency. It's a lot of talk, you know, concerning that, you know, especially on the heels of Prince transitioning. You know, a lot of people turn focus toward our music and, you know, what's going on in the industry. And there's a lot, you know, that came up, you know, in his transitioning. And, you know, dealing with music and even dealing with tones and frequencies and stuff like that as well. So, I definitely I'm inspired, really, to, you know, do a show like this to, you know, speak about our music from back in the past and, you know, a little bit about what they've been. I'm not going to go really deep into the conspiracy theory side of it, but, you know, I'm going to touch on certain things maybe somewhat. But overall, you know, I want it to be an enlightening show as well as empowering, you know, because we need a lot of that. You know, I hear when Prince transitions, I heard a lot of things, you know, in reference to surrounding his death and, you know, the music industry and how it does and stuff like that. But, you know, it's important for us to look into us empowering ourselves using different tones and vibration and music, because they flipped it around and they've done the opposite and caused a lot of, I guess you say, discord in the music with the 440 hertz, which I'm going to get into, versus the 432 hertz, and, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, dealing with that. So, you know, it should be an interesting show. What I really want to do, the first part, I kind of want to go into the musical side of it, dealing with the artists and stuff like that, and then maybe in the second half I'll get, you know, more in depth into frequency, vibration, tones, languages, and stuff like that.
Okay. All righty. And so I have one more co-host that's going to join us before we get into it. And this is Eric. Eric, are you there?
I'm in the building. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, Eric. So, Kasim, all right, yield the floor to you.
Okay. New phone, so just pardon me. Am I coming in clear?
Yes, you are.
I'm coming in clear? Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Good enough. I think too often, a lot of times we look at tone, frequencies, and vibrations, you know, with a grain of salt, because a lot of it is very subliminal and subtle, I guess you could say. And therefore, we feel it doesn't have any effect on us. The vibration, the earth has a tone, the vibration, everything actually vibrates. Stone, crystals vibrate, even though they may seem solid, but they have a vibration as well. The way the planets, you know, move around in harmony and stuff like that is a way that they move, and it evolves around vibration. We need to look at the way vibration operates a little deeper in our lives, because if we are now becoming more evolved, vibrations are affecting us in a very profound way now, more maybe than many years ago. And that's what I'm going to really get into tonight, is how not just the, as I said before, not just the music industry or how, you know, tones are around us, but how to actually use tones, how to use frequencies, how to use these things so that they can benefit us. You know, whether using tuning forks, whether you're using CDs even now, you know, or, you know, just audio, as I would say. CDs are kind of becoming a little bit more obsolete now, but still people use CDs and stuff like that because it can heal, actually. You know, they have a powerful healing modality, dealing with tones. You know, they have cured cancer, shown improved with frequency and tones. Okay, that's a very powerful thing. They have cleaned water, the Gulf, oil spill. In actuality, a lot of it was cleaned up by tones and vibrations, believe it or not, over the water. Okay, I'm going to go into that. I'm going to, you know, go into a lot of things. So, you know, get your pens and paper ready, because I know maybe many may want to further research, but I'm not going into too many theories here. A lot of this is actual facts, you know, for us to get into and to do further research.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to start off basically speaking about the music industry. And the reason why is because the music industry is one of the major ways that we get this, these tones, vibrations, and frequencies into us. One of the major ways, anyway. And the overall, I guess you can say, by those who are in control of the music, they understand that music controls. They understand that music has a strong hold on us. It can empower us, and also it can be destructive. And this is why they came out with, which everybody knows, the 440 hertz frequency. Okay. At one time, the frequency was, like, I think about 1,000 years ago, 432 hertz, which is the Earth frequency. And then you have the 528 frequency, which is called the love frequency. Some call it the miracle frequency. They give it a certain name. But that frequency, those two are some of the main two frequencies that are very positive for us. All right, the 528 and the 432. Right now, most of the music is on the 440 hertz frequency, for those who are not aware. Now, we are still on that frequency, 440. Music like Mozart, believe it or not, Beethoven, and stuff like that, it was not on a 440.
Okay, it was more or less on the 442 or 432 frequency. Or even 528 frequency vibration. The Beatles, years ago in the 60s, okay, they was doing this stuff. All right. With John Lennon. John Lennon was killed because of his I don't want to say fascination, but because he wanted to promote the 528 frequency. You know, he wanted to carry out that record that they did called Imagine back then had a 528 frequency to it. Okay, and a lot of the other Beatles records too, they wanted to just move this love vibration, because that's what it is. The 528 deals with the divine love frequency. And those who are in power to control knew what this would bring, peace and love and all that kind of stuff to the planet, had to stomp that out. So this was the significance of John Lennon for those who may not be aware. And also what many may not be aware of is that this is why Michael Jackson wanted and got hold of the Beatles archives, all their records and everything. Michael owned it, remember. Many didn't understand that. Why did Michael Jackson want the Beatles' music? What was that all about? Well, it was about the 528 hertz frequency and the love vibration, which Michael was about, as you know. So when Michael just got it and just held on to it because he knew the value of it, okay, he didn't want to pollute it, I guess, or whatever, but that was the significance of him wanting the Beatles' music. But our artists, many of our artists from way back were shot, assassinated in different ways, shapes, or forms over the years because they put out certain music that was to change the way people felt, the way people felt about each other. Even a certain, like for instance, was the Ayatollah didn't allow Khomeini back years ago, didn't allow any other music other than what was sanctioned by them. They lined the foreign music and nothing like that, because he understood that the music had a very significant, I guess you'd say, it was a significant factor in the way the people were. So that was a very guarded thing. In a lot of countries, it's very guarded. It's not like you're going to just play any kind of music. Like now, it's just free. You can play anything you want, you can buy all kinds of music, anything. So you're subject to all kind of vibrations and energies and stuff like that, tones. So this is something that we should look at, especially when it comes to our children, when it comes to our overall being. Just because it sounds good doesn't necessarily mean it is good. Okay, just like I was telling you before, we like Mozart, we like Beethoven, really, and stuff like that, and other music, classical, and stuff like that, that are on that those frequencies, which are more in tune with the planet and more in tune with the love vibration. Okay?
So, now, what's the frequency of the planet?
The frequency of the planet is the 432 hertz frequency.
Oh, 432.
The 432 hertz. Right, 432 versus 440 hertz.
Okay.
You know, 440 hertz is the artificial one that they came up with, I think, in the 30s. They had came up with that frequency. Okay, and what it is that they changed it because of the fact that they wanted a more controlling kind of vibration. They want it to be unnatural, you know, put it that way. The unnatural vibration would keep us more controllable, I guess you can say, from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what they did, you know. And, you know, as I mentioned, with John Lennon and the Beatles and stuff like that, they really did a number on us, you know, in reference to changing the vibration. They tried to bring it back. And that's why they killed him, you know, because of the fact that he tried to change that. And, you know, that record, Imagine, that he put out, remember that? I don't know if you remember
mm-hmm.
that.
You do. Yeah. Yeah, that right there was going worldwide, and, you know, what it is with that energy, you know, he was trying to shift something. And they knew it. You know, the music industry is very crafty, you know what I'm saying, how, you know, they maneuvered in a role. You know, to change your frequency is to change your reality, okay, because we need to reclaim our power by elevating our vibration and eliminate the things that, you know, that distort it, you know. And the power of music and frequency affects our heart rate, nervous system, blood pressure, emotions, desires, mental process, and can influence actually an entire society, you know, and it can. So, you know, sound has a very powerful metaphysical significance. And, you know, the
now,
ancients,
what about,
they knew.
Mm-hmm. What about the rap music?
Oh, the rap music? Okay,
the beat.
Rap?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, rap stands for rhythm and poetry, right? R-A-P.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did with that, they changed the name, which I never understood, to hip-hop. Okay, and that right there was, you know, a whole other thing, them changing to hip-hop. I don't know what that totally was all about, but as you know, rap initially started off, you know, in the East Coast. It started off with the conscious rappers becoming more conscious. And then they shifted it over to the West Coast. That's what that movie was all about, that they just put out about the, what was it, the gangster rap movie that they just put out? Compton?
N.W.A. Compton, yeah.
What's that?
Compton, N.W.A., there was a group.
Right, Compton. And what it was is that they purposely did that. That was part of a whole, you know, thing what they did to divide and to shift the consciousness of the rap music, because remember, rhythm and rhyme, okay, is very, it's a very powerful thing. You know what I'm saying? They could not have that, you know, at all. They had to stop and put the brakes on that, you know, because they knew the power of it, you know. So the rap music, it's a very powerful thing. I mean, it's existing all the way to this time. It's the longest running genre, really, you know, rap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for a reason, because of the fact that it does have power. But unfortunately, it fell into the wrong hands. It started going to the West Coast, and it went down south. And you know what happened once it really got down south. You know, it's what we have right now. You know, so which is really, you know, not music at all, you know. I remember the days, you know, in the past, you know, many years ago, the type of music was so, it had love, it had a powerful frequency, even though it still may have been on 440 hertz, but it was still very powerful in a lot of ways. You know, we had people come along like James Brown and, of course, you know, the all the artists of the 60s and some in the 70s, like with Isaac Hayes, he brought in the orchestration, which was like a Beethoven, something that nobody never really did before, okay? And that added another flavor to, you know, that type of music, like that Mozart, Beethoven type of thing, and he developed a soul twist to it. And that was a major, you know, thing, because that music was phenomenal, you know.
And what about Ray Charles? He brought in that orchestra kind of music too.
Yeah, Ray Charles with the piano.
Gospel.
Yeah, Ray Charles. I mean, our artists, okay, each came with a certain energy. If you look at them,
mm-hmm.
whether it was James Brown came with the funk, you know, you said Ray Charles, you had like Stevie Wonder, he came with his own vibration,
mm-hmm.
Parliament Funkadelic, you can throw them in there, you can throw an Earth, Wind, and Fire. Everybody
mm-hmm.
came with something to really project and put forth to do something to the vibration. Some of it was divinely
mm-hmm.
inspired. You know,
yeah.
even though we think we're just listening to, you know, regular music, stuff like that, a lot of it was divine, you know, especially when we're dealing with the love frequency. Like Marvin Gaye, for instance, right? Marvin Gaye projected a lot of power in reference to the love frequency. That's why I feel that, you know, something happened to him. And, you know, they had other artists with a powerful love frequencies, like, you know, you got your Teddy Pendergrass and so many, like, who's that? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I say the OJs.
Now, let me mention something about the Philadelphia sound, okay? Because Philadelphia Records specifically was doing the 432 hertz and the 520. They was doing that. Their artists, you know, they was going to take over the industry, okay, from Motown. Because originally Motown had it on lock. You know, they had, you know,
right.
Ross, they had Smith Robinson, they had everybody, right? Then Philadelphia Records came along later on, like in the 70s, and they had the Tramps, McFadden and Whitehead, Teddy Pendergrass, Jerry Butler, Dexter Wanzel, Archie Bell, Jones Girl, Dee Dee Sharp, Gamble, the Dells, MSFB. We can go on. Okay, Spinners, Wilson Pickett, Patti LaBelle, they had everybody. And they were slowly but surely taking control and injecting the right hertz music in their music. Now, how do I know this? I know this because back, I think it was in the late 70s, early 80s, right? I was affiliated with the Ansar community in Bushwick, in Brooklyn, New York. And what it was is that Dr. York, who back then his name was Imam Issa, okay, was affiliated with the Philadelphia Records, who was Leon Huff and Kenny Gamble,
mm-hmm.
okay, and he established his own, which was called York Records. And what it is that in his book, in his literature, he put out that information, a whole book on the frequencies and the music and stuff like that. And those brothers from the Philadelphia community were really close to them, and they corresponded on information, and they started creating music on the different frequencies. They even had something called the Blue Note. The Blue Note was a note that was like, it was an in-between note, okay? It wasn't a note that anybody was familiar with. It was like a different kind of pitch. And what it is that when certain people heard it, you know, white people, other people, they was like, well, what is this pitch in between? It says this note. Now, if you listen to, especially like, I don't know if you're familiar with MSFB, or anybody is, but MSFB, you know, the Soul Train theme? MSFB, okay? And what it is with them, they were producing music on the 432 hertz, you know?
Okay.
And their artists were too. Now, the Jacksons left Barry Gordy, okay? When they left Barry Gordy, okay, they came to Philadelphia Records minus Jermaine. So, because, you know, Jermaine married the daughter, Barry Gordy's daughter.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, therefore, they couldn't take the name, so they became the Jacksons with Randy. And those two albums, it was the Jacksons was one, and there was one more, the one that got Show Me the Way to Go on it, right? Those two were 432 hertz. Those two were very powerful albums right there. And they even said it that Barry Gordy had them locked down to a certain point as far as what they could do and what they couldn't do. So those two albums by the Jacksons, I guess that's the last two that they made. I don't know, maybe it was, I think Destiny was another one they made out of Motown. But they was on a different frequency. Those cuts, you know, right there. But overall, we had some powerful artists, you know, doing their thing. Now, I want to get into the definition, okay, or where the term music actually came from, right? The term music actually came from women that they call muses, M-U-S-E, a muse. Now, a muse means actually to inspire. That's what the word actually means. And it's actually Greek, the term, and the women who inspired men to do great things. It was like a form of vibration, what they did. And they understood, because remember, Pythagoras and a lot of the Greeks, you know, Hermes Trismegistus and all them who studied music, studied all this kind of stuff, they learned from the Egyptians. They learned that stuff from us.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
A lot of times when we talk about Pythagoras and stuff like that, because he actually studied intensely of music for 22 years and stuff like that with the Chemites and different things doing with frequency and vibration and stuff like that. And he had 2,500 students there in Greece. So he knew a lot of what he was talking about. And this is what they model a lot of the scales after, dealing with the tones and the frequencies and stuff like that, after his theories, you know, what, you know, he was talking about, you know. So this is definitely a the tones, vibrations, and stuff like that is something that it's been around us for 432 goes back, way back, thousands of years, because the harmonics of the pyramid, so many things revolve around that frequency, you know, in the way the tones of the universe and stuff like it. It's like the 528, though, is a love frequency. So that's another frequency that is very powerful, that 528. You know, there's healing involved with it and a lot of stuff. You can actually get some CDs and some things that are 528 and 432 hertz specifically to listen to on a regular. So if you really want to do some healing, you know, meditations and stuff like that, this is what, you know, you want to do. This is what you want to get into, you know, that vibration and that frequency. You get it in the music, too. You just have to pick and choose and to know what music is good to listen to. Now, there's music on 440 hertz that's fine as well. You know, we listen to James Brown, who was powerful, and all the rest of them, it was on 440, but still, you know, we can listen to it and it's still good music, but because of the fact that what they did to it, they even did this. This is interesting. What they did is they, remember we had the records, right? The wax, right? Now,
we was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now you had the needle, right? The needle, what they call a needle was a diamond tip, which was a crystal, right? Now, the crystal vibration, right, amplified, was very powerful, and this is what we was listening to from the music on wax. That music was just going in, and it was analog. Now, a lot of people feel that digital is superior to analog. That's not true. Actually, the stereo and the hi-fi was a more natural frequency to be on, okay, than the digital, because it surrounds, it's just more natural in general, whereas that the digital hits you in a straight line, and which is not necessarily natural like that. So when they converted from the analog, you know, they took away the diamond tip, which was the crystal, which was really interfacing with you, with the crystals in you, because you are LCD, biological LCD, liquid crystal. You know, you have that in your blood, crystals. So that's what you were resonating with, you know, back then. But now it's on something different totally. It's not even on the same, but.
Yeah, the digital is that straight line. That's that computer.
Right, that's that computerized music, right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not real. We think it is. We think it's better. You know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
in actuality, it's really not. You know what I'm saying?
No.
For those who really know music and stuff like that. Now,
sure.
the 528 now is a frequency that is central, right, to the mathematical matrix of creation and actuality more than any sound. The love frequency resonates, you know, at the heart of everything, you know, that is the ancient priests, the healers, and many advanced civilizations, they knew about that. And they manifested miracles, produced blessings, all that kind of stuff. So they knew about all these frequencies and stuff like that too, you know, dealing with, I say, for instance, the Tibetans, right? They have these bowls that they play, the Tibetan bowls. And the bowls are different frequencies, and they know the frequencies because a lot of them line up with your chakras in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So they know, you know, you can get a crystal bowl for each chakra. That, say, if you have a weak chakra, right, a weak sacral chakra, right, or weak heart chakra, you would get a singing bowl for that chakra. You know what I'm saying? And you would, you know, I guess you can call it it's like a rod that you go around it and you make it hum. And it tunes you, you know, like that. So, you know, these things, you know, can be used as like different forms of spiritual technology using vibrations, you know, and now, I don't know if you've heard of something called a tonoscope before, or the science of semantics, but when you, say for instance, if you have a word or a vibration, this tonoscope is a tool that, it's not new, but you have, it's almost like a drum, and you have sand, or you have, how you can put it, you can have sand on it or you can have salt on it. And when you vibrate at a certain frequency or language or whatever, it makes geometric patterns. And in this way, you can kind of discern in a lot of ways which tones, you know, are good and which tones are not by a lot of the configurations. It's called a tonoscope. And that's a science that a lot of people use, you know, in a different way, shapes, and forms. But, yeah, our music, I, you know, studied some music back in the past. I used to play guitar, you know, back in the
okay.
past. You know, yeah, I was a guitar player. I kind of put it down, you know, after a while. But, you know, it's a thing where our music is indeed something that we can use in addition to tones and frequencies that resonate with us in a natural way, you know, not an unnatural way.
Because I heard that at opera, they used to use that for when they were going to war.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess,
I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? You know, the thing where, you know, you have what the walls, you know, you hear the stories on the Bible about the walls of Jericho, you know, and the sound
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. Then, you know, I don't know if you remember the old commercial where they showed a woman singing and it breaking the glass.
Right.
It was an old commercial that they used to show all the time years ago. But it's a real thing, though. You know, you can reach
mm-hmm.
a pitch where you can actually shatter glass,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that right there, it shows you the power of tones. You know that some say that they use frequencies to move the blocks in pyramids.
I've heard
move
that.
Huge stones. Yeah, you've heard that, right? Now I'm gonna tell you a story about tones too, right? Frequencies. There is a place off the coast of Florida. A man, his name is Ed Linsking, right? He has something called the Coral Castle, right? I don't know if your people have heard of that. But this place, you know, it's like they don't know how this man built this because it's just it's big, giant blocks of coral rock. I actually go there to this day and see it, okay? And what it is that they say he was from another planet or something like that. But they used to deliver the big blocks there. But he would never let anybody see how he moved them in place. And one time, some children were around, and he didn't know it, and they was looking, and they were watching him. And he had these two, they said the kids described them as ice cream cones in his hand. And with the ice cream cones, he actually did something with frequency and lifted the stones up and was putting them in place. Now, these little cones, like what the children described, are found in different places. In one of the places in Egypt, they're actually found. They got them in museums, but they don't know what they're used for. At least they say they don't know what they're used for.
Okay?
So, yeah, so this is possibly, you know, how they moved it through sound and vibration, the blocks in place. Of course, to cut them, they would use some type of laser or something like that to do it. But, yeah, so the power of sound and frequency is something that, even with light and color, because light is frequency, you know, as well. Say, for instance, the color red vibrates at a lower frequency than ultraviolet as it goes up the scale from, I guess, from orange to yellow to green to blue. You know, it's a higher vibration. You know, that's why gamma rays, I think, are considered to be violet in color or purple or whatever like that. So you have color is related to vibration as well. So a lot of things around us is related to vibration. We just don't perceive it as that. You know, even something as small as, you know, you could walk in a room and you could say, man, no, I don't feel that. That the vibes in there don't feel right. You know
right.
You don't feel it. That's a vibration right there in itself, you know. It's just a lot of stuff
and you can
all
pick,
around.
And you can pick that up off of people.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You go around a person and like, ooh, I don't like how this person feels.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You can definitely, you can pick up people's vibes. And you know how people say, I don't feel you or I feel you.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
yeah.
See that now. Vibration. You know, same thing. You know, so it's in different ways. It's in light. It's in music. It's in us, the way we feel about people. You know, and you know, it just engulfs us. So, and as time moves on, now we're becoming more evolved as, you know, people and beings in general. So, therefore, we are becoming more sensitive to tones and vibration. Now, who says, like in the Bible, it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and all that, right? Who's to say that it could have been tones? In the beginning, not necessarily words, because who knows if it's more an advanced level, you know, it would be maybe just the tones, you know, in the frequencies, you know, like certain languages, right? Certain languages are more tonal, like for instance, Sanskrit is more tonal, it's more of a tonal type of language, in which is one of the Semitic languages, which they have a few of them. I think, Arabic and Hebrew are Semitic. Some say that Latin is also a Semitic language. Now, people have, you know, they may feel a way, you know, debate to say that language, certain other languages and doing ritual and stuff like that have power or more power than the English language. I mean, that's for, you know, people to decide whatever they feel, but I do know that some languages are more ancient than others. Okay, so it may be some validity to that. Now, I've studied a little bit of the Arabic and the Hebrew, and I know a little bit of Sanskrit five mantras, but the languages do have power, the other languages. You know, you just have to know what, you know, which language. Like, for instance, the Hebrew language is really powerful. And this is why years ago they had a man, his name was Yahweh ben Yahweh. I don't know if people may be familiar with him or not. But yeah. Yahweh ben Yahweh, okay, you remember him, right? Okay, remember they got after him after a while. I mean, he had his businesses and stuff like that. But they got after him, okay? And one of the reasons why they got after Yahweh ben Yahweh because of the fact that he was teaching Hebrew. He was teaching the real Hebrew language. And what it was, because of the fact that he was teaching the real Hebrew language, they felt, they was like, wait a minute, hold up, we have to stop him, because of the fact that they understood that they couldn't have black people doing stuff with the Hebrew language, because they understand that, that those frequencies and those vibrations have a powerful ability to manifest, to make things happen, okay, to, yeah. So, I mean, remember, English is the bastard language. You know, it's like English is like, you know, the last one, you know, to come forth, you know, out of all the languages. You know, so our language is a language that it's a remnant. It has pieces of many different languages in it. Let's put it like that, you know. And go ahead.
Andrew? I say it's the spell that they use to control.
It's the spell that they use to?
Control.
To control. Oh, you mean as far as using the language?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, using the language, yeah. Using the language. And then they tell us that it's not us, it just belongs to them. But really, in actuality, the Jews over in Israel, they don't even speak Hebrew. They speak Yiddish. They don't speak Hebrew. Okay, so that's kind of like a kind of semi-lost kind of language, because not that many people even speak it, the real Hebrew, you know. So, I mean, maybe the priests do and those do. Now, what I found out is Sanskrit, right, was in Ethiopia, okay, now they speak what they call G's, G-E-E-Z, G's. G's is very similar, if not the same, as Sanskrit. Now, I know people say, well, how did that happen? You got Ethiopia over there, and you have India a little bit farther away. But remember, at one time, the landmass was together. That's why they got tigers and elephants in India. And also, India means black. So the original people of India were more than likely black. You know, the Dravidians, they call them now. So, you know, a lot of our history has been taken away. So a lot of times we don't know what that is. I, you know, studied some of Ranoko Rashidi's stuff, and he went into that in reference to the language, in reference to the people of India and stuff like that, and where all that comes from, because automatically when you think India, automatically people say Hindu right away. You know what I'm saying? But they come lately. You know what I'm saying? They're not necessarily the original people, you know what I'm saying, of the region, I guess.
And that adds up to a 9. And so now I see why they call the planet Mother Earth, because it's got that feminine energy to it.
Mm. Yeah. OK.
Okay. Yeah, the 432 hertz frequency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, in essence, we should, I think, for healing purposes and for all other purposes, look at that, start to look at that more seriously, because the vibration now at this time we in is shifting, which we all know. Okay, so in any way, shape, or form, we can get closer to picking up our vibration in any way, shape, or form that we can. We need to really start to consider doing that. All right? In all kinds
of ways. Now, how do people raise their vibration?
Well, there's a lot of ways to raise your vibration. I mean, whether you do, I don't care if you do Tai Chi, I don't care if you do yoga, meditation. I mean, it's across the board. But, you know, dealing with vibration and frequency just straight like that, get into music with the 432 or 528, tones as far as mantras. This is what I'm suggesting purposely. I mean, you know, personally, mantras, mm-hmm. dealing with good tones, like Sanskrit mantras or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just overall, just lining yourself up with things like defenses. I think I spoke about this on the last show in reference to not doing certain things. Like, for instance, a lot of people continually speak about what white people or the system or whatever is doing to them all the time.
Right.
They're always vibrating on that. Here we go again with vibration, right? You're vibrating on that. So that lowers your vibration. And that keeps you down. If you get, that's all you want to talk about, that's what, you know, that's where you're going to be. So it's better for you to vibrate on higher things. Talk about peace. Talk about love. Talk about especially divine love, because that's, you know, a powerful thing right now. I mean, it always has been. But divine love has the ability to shift, you know, like never before, because that's that love that God, you know, really put in all of us to be, you know, not just the love for your mother or your father or your husband or your wife or something like that, but it's a different type. And the frequency color for that is purple or violet. So another thing, too, use color therapy. Have violet or blue or colors like that that vibrate at a higher frequency around you in a lot of ways. You could use that, you know. There's various ways, to keep your vibration high, you know what I'm saying, so that once your vibration is kept high, you can surpass a lot of other things that the lower frequencies, okay, can get you with, if you can understand what I mean by that.
Yeah,
you know?
And it makes sense what you're saying, because now I'm looking at Prince. Prince was into the purple rain. He could play all those instruments. He could sing. He could dance. So he was vibrating at a very high level.
Right. Right, Prince was. He was vibrating at a very high level. You know what I'm saying? He always, purple was his color. And mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix was talking about the same thing with Purple Haze.
Purple
Haze. He kind of knew a little bit about it, too. So now, I thought it was interesting that when Prince died, it was like purple everywhere. It was all over the place. From Niagara Falls mm-hmm. to Eiffel Tower to Empire State Building, Stadium. I mean, it was all over the place. That was a sign. That was definitely a sign because that color in general represents actually divine love and transformation. That's mm-hmm. what it represents. So this is that time for the divine love, really, in actuality, transformation and resurrection too. You could throw that in there, you know. Mm-hmm. So these things need to be focused on now. Those things, that, you know, so that we can match the energy that
the planet wants us to go to, or the divine wants us to go to be in, to keep up, because they're getting ready to do some serious stuff, you know what I'm saying, out here. We looking at an election that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what this is going to bring.
Yeah. But I feel like that is duality that's going on. And so we got that energy that's that real destructive kind of energy that's there, but we also got this high power energy that's going on too. Just like you said, the purple. I mean, that was a high vibration, and that was just all over the place. And people were celebrating.
Right.
They were, you know, it wasn't real. It wasn't a sad occasion. People was dancing in the street and celebrating.
Right.
So we got those, you know, it's not just going to be all doom and gloom. It's going to be the other energy that's there also resonating.
Right. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. I was doing some research, you know, not too long ago, dealing with Prince, right? And I came up with this. It was, I forgot what the site was, but there was a man who was supposedly some type of a ascended master or something like that. His name was Prince Omosis, O-M, you look it up, O-M-S-I-S, something like that, Omosis. And his thing, his vibration, supposedly, as ascended master, was the violet flame or the purple ray. That was his thing. So I was like, wow, you know, because certain people incarnate as others, so who knows who Prince could have been. I remember one time I was listening to Bobby Hemmett, and he mentioned a lot of stuff about our entertainers and performers, you know, during when he was teaching, you know, and he mentioned a lot of stuff about many of them and how and who they were and how powerful they were in our reality. And that's basically, I feel, largely part what they had to do with was vibration that they were putting out, that was hitting the airways that we were listening to, that this is how they would affect us. Because, you know, that's why there's so much, I guess you can say, this is why, whether it's the Hollywood or the music industry, that's their big two controlling devices, whether it's in what you see or it's in what you hear. Okay, they control on one end and they control on another end. And the music is what we love so much. We visual too, we like movies, all that kind of stuff too. But the music especially, we really get into that. So they can control through that. And I heard, you know, someone say one time recently that, you know, because there's not a lot of good music around, but now they have this new genre where they're mixing, like, the music, I just call it white people music with the black people. It's called, they give it a name, too. You know, you have your artists like your Justin Timberlake doing it, and what's the little boy from Canada? He's doing it. And supposedly this is, you know, hip for the young black kids now to get into, you know, where it doesn't have any kind of real substance, you know, at all. But I guess this is all they have, but it's been, you know, music is totally integrated, but some people defend it because it doesn't have the harsh lyrics as a lot of this rap music does, you know, which, you know, I can kind of understand the way, because a lot of this music now, is rap music is ridiculous, you know, totally.
But
ridiculous.
We got like a Lamar, you know, he's doing some positive deep rapping.
What's his name?
Lamar.
What's his name?
Are you still there, Eric?
From California?
Yeah, Mark Kendrick.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. He, I have heard some of his lyrics before. There are a few, you know, but they don't, a lot of them don't get the airplay, you know, that they should, you know, and that's how the system works too. They won't give them the airplay they should, you know, because of the fact that, you know, they're coming off with positive lyrics and stuff like that. So they, like, put them on the back burner, you know. You don't really hear them on the radio too tough, you know. But, yeah.
But even the guy, Drake, I hear Drake music, and some of his music I can kind of resonate with.
I like his instrumentals. I think Drake has some real nice instrumentals. Okay, I think he does. You know what I'm saying? I think he has some powerful instrumental music, and you know, I don't know a lot about him. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I have listed some of his stuff before, and then you know, I've listened to some of his instrumentals before too. But you know, there are a few that you know, do have some you know, validity to quality music and sound.
And then if you look at other people, superstars, they still have, it comes from our music, you know, for instance, Elvis Presley. And even the Rolling Stones and even the Beatles, that, you know, they'll tell you where they got their inspiration from. So it all comes back to us.
Right.
Presley was doing Jackie Wilson and all of that, you know. I mean, he said he used to go to the black clubs and look in and watch them, and that's how he got his routine down. So, you know, it all comes back to us.
Yeah, that spoken word. You know, when you have the spoken word combined with instruments, that in itself is like a mix, an alchemical mix, you know, in itself, you know what I'm saying? And it, you know, it's powerful in that way. We don't, you know, we're so used to hearing, you know, the combination of the two, not realizing that combination is like a powerful mix. You know, because, you know, you just get, sometimes you just get the instrumental, sometimes you just get the acapella singing. But, you know, together, you know, that, you know, is strength and power. So, you know, we got a lot of, especially in that old music, we got a lot of power in it. And, you know, a lot of us go back to it now on the stations. This is what they're playing now. They're not playing a lot of this new stuff. A lot of them, they playing old school automatic, you know, now. You know,
and I think each generation, you know, we got some powerful things that's going on today in the music industry. You know, I'm listening to some of the young people music, and I see a lot of power that's going on with some of it.
Well, let's see what happened here. Where are you going now?
Definitely fantastic, no doubt about that at all. And I'm going to open up the lines, okay, for anyone who wants to ask any questions. Just put your hand up on your comments on the show so far. I'm going to continue soon with the other half of the show. I just figured I'd take a little intermission and everybody know who didn't tune in at the beginning of the show that was a rebroadcast of a previous show. This is the Ringing Stone Network, okay, and this show is Spiritual Alchemy. It's my show, and the show is dedicated toward transformation and empowerment. Okay, and this is what it's all about right now, transformation and empowerment, and to uplift the consciousness, you know, all the way around. And that's what this time, you know, should be all about. Our music is powerful indeed, and we just have to redirect a lot of the negativity that has been injected, okay, in our music, because it the frequencies, you know, and tones and vibrations of our music is outstanding, which our previous have shown us, as you know, mentioned in the broadcast. Anywhere from like Ray Charles is mentioned, you had Earth and the Fire mentioned, you had James Brown, Jackson's, Prince. We can go down the list, and they all were great, and they all did their thing, no doubt about that at all. And I definitely had my share of you know, enjoying our music, especially back in the late 70s, early 80s. And now is a time where a lot of that is still, people still play the old music. If you listen to a lot of the stations, a lot of people still, indeed, still play old school. And that's what it's all about. And they cannot even imitate a lot of it. I see a lot of remakes and stuff like that, but there's nothing like the original music that our people produced, you know, back in the days. Now, on the Ringstone Network, tomorrow night we're going to have Brother Eddie on, and he's going to continue with some more Black history information for those who want to tune in tomorrow night. I'll be back on, not next Thursday, Thursday after next, with a show dedicated to Rap Totally, which has been a powerful genre, which now... it's making a comeback, okay, because of the fact that now they have rhythm and bars, and a lot of the original rap is now on the return, and it has a powerful significance at this time, which I'm going to go into. So going to put on a second part of the broadcast, which I was on the Beverly D Show, which I did a few shows with her. She's out of Michigan, and she has a weekly show, and I was invited to be on her show. And we're going to go into the second part, so enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. I want to mention something, too, switching from that real quick. Forgot to mention, because you, Beverly had mentioned, what can we do, things that we can do to heighten our vibration. But I just got a healing tool that I know about dealing with frequencies, right? It's called, I don't know if you've heard of a man, his name is Royal Rice, right? Now, Royal Rice invented this machine. It was related to Tesla technology, right? And what it did, this technology can heal cancer, all right? And other illnesses, right? And what it is that it uses a certain frequency ranges, right? And what it does is you got to pinpoint the frequency of the disease. This is how deep this goes. The frequency of the disease. Then what happens is it like zaps it. It gets through a window. It's like, okay. You know how you may have a window, one is like a rectangle, one is a square, one is a triangle, stuff like that, right? The machine finds which one to go through without harming the rest and attacking the disease, okay, like that. And it's based on harmonics and vibration. And, I mean, anybody can look this up. And his name, the inventor's name was William Wright. Now, of course, you know what they did with him, okay? Same thing they did with Tesla, okay? With Tesla technology, they just wrote him off, and because of the fact that nobody was making no money. So therefore, William Wright, it was the same thing. They do still have Wright machines, but they're very expensive. They're like $2,000 in that range, if you can get a good one, too, on top of that. You know, so I just want to throw that in there because it's just another, I guess you'd say, healing tool that, you know, alternative that can be used for healing purposes. You know, say if anybody has something that they may want to attack, you know, on a disease level, that's another way, you know, that it can be done, you know, through sound waves and frequencies and stuff like that. So there's a lot of modalities, you know, revolving around frequency and sound and stuff like that, light and all of that. And, you know, hopefully tonight we're going over some things in which, you know, people can maybe put in your Google and do further research and, you know, to help, you know, build, you know, your vibration or heal using the frequencies, whether it's 432, 528. They have some others too. You know, that's not just the two. Matter of fact, they have some of them. You can go on YouTube even and get, okay,
yeah,
some of these meditation. Just look at meditation 432 hertz, and you can just put it on and just listen to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, and some of them are like 2 hours long. And
now, how can you measure those hertz? You know, because, you know, I get a little suspect sometimes because people can put on there whatever they want and say that
I know,
it's certain hurts.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah,
I be kind of, I kind of watch myself with that YouTube.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That too. But, you know, hurts, I guess the definition of hurts is something like a unit of frequency, right? And they use the international system of units, I think it's called. And it's like one cycle per second, okay? And and the guy who came up with, his name is Rudolf Hertz, I think his name is. And he was like the first guy to really provide the proof of electromagnetic waves and stuff like that. So, but, you know, there are some that you can seek out that's credible as well. You just got to, you know, pick and choose and do your research and, you know, stuff like that. You know, but I understand where you're coming from. You know, I get some of my stuff. I've gotten some stuff off of YouTube. I have. And a brother named Mitchell Gibson, okay, that, you know, I know and I trust, he manufactures CDs like that. And you can get his from Tybro.com, TYBRO.com. And if you know, kind of suspect and maybe you want somebody who, you know, looks like us and reliable, you know, you can maybe do it like that. But I think they're like about $20 a CD or something like that, you know. And they'll help you with different things. He has the different things. He has them for everything from if you want to meditate, higher if you want, then for, say, for instance, you have a certain ailment or something like that, different things, you know what I'm saying? You can see, when you pull up, you'll see the catalog that he has, you know.
Because I really do believe that every ailment has its own vibration.
Right.
Yep.
Right, it does.
So if you got a vibration that can cure cancer, you got one that can cure diabetes and so on and so forth.
Right. No doubt about that. And I was going into the telescope before. Now, you're familiar with Dr. Emoto, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Emoto and, you know, his research. This is another thing dealing with frequency. What they did is they took a water, and they somehow they got it close to the sun, and they brought it back and froze it, right? And when they froze it, and then they, you know, did what Dr. Emoto does, it was a perfect crystal shape. That was from the vibration of the sun that did that. That's another modality that we talk about as far as, you know, how you increase your vibration, the sun. You know, just get some sun, especially at the morning hours and the late afternoon hours. You know, that vibration is coming in from the sun. But as we know now, they're trying to block it out with the chemtrails and all that kind of stuff, you know. And, yeah, that's a frequency thing, too, that they're doing with the chemtrails. And with the chemtrails, they're trying to block the frequencies that's coming in from the cosmic, okay. This morning, it was in North Carolina, it was like 50-something degrees, okay. For end of May, that's not normal, you know, at all.
No, so, right here, too, that,
yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, it's funny that Prince, right? When Prince passed away, you know, the Google search mode skyrocketed as far as what chemtrails was all about. People were Googling chemtrails. And that had to do with that interview with,
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He was talking about that with Travis Smiley.
Right, you saw that, right. Mm-hmm. So everybody saw that. So he brought a new awareness to a lot of people in reference to what that was all about. Because a lot of people still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are still in the dark, you know, on that. And, I mean, they're up there almost every other day. You know what I'm saying? Especially here, it's ridiculous where I'm at. You know,
it's all over.
I think they, yeah. Well, you know, Beb, I did some research on that too. Do you know that they're focusing on the East Coast specifically, or the eastern half of the United States, more than the western half? Yeah, they definitely are. You know, I had got a heat index map for the years 2014 and 15. And both of them showed that there were below normal temperatures only in the eastern half of the United States versus the rest of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the world is heating up. You know, we know that, you know, this is happening, but we don't see that. We don't see evidence of that. Because of the fact that, you know, they're trying to shut down the vibration over here. I guess most of the people are on the East Coast and all that kind of stuff, too. I guess maybe it has something to do with it.
Hello?
But, yeah. You can't hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But it's so many. It's so, you know, just like Eric say, whatever they do, we can all, you know, we have a remedy. Just like our water, I programmed my water. I put my own vibration. So I put my water in a glass jar, a gallon jar. I put my own labels on my water. I write on that my labels what I want my water to vibrate at, if I want it to heal certain parts of my body, if I wanted to do that. And when I drink that water, it goes into my cells. It goes into my body. I've already programmed it.
Now, Brother Kassam, you remember when you were talking to me and you told me to get the rose quartz and the amethyst and lavender oil?
Right.
Yeah. That's been really, really working. I've been working with it.
You've been working with it, okay? Yeah, because that combination is that divine love, transformational, all of that. That's a powerful combination right there. I mean, that's for everybody. Get that. That's another, you know, modality to elevate. Use crystals, especially amethyst now. All right.
Okay.
So anybody out
purple.
There listening,
that's that purple.
Right. Find the amethyst. Because that's a high vibrating crystal. And you want that around, you know, just to have it around, wear it on you, have it sitting on your table, whatever. See, what it is that what people don't realize that crystals are actually vibrating. They're vibrating. You know, it's just that they're in the form that they're in, we can't perceive the vibration, you know, but they are. You know what I'm saying? They're, you know, it's like they say, you have the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, and the animal kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mineral kingdom, we think that, you know, oh, these are just stones. They're not doing anything. They're not, you know, alive or anything like that. But they have life. Now, I went to a sweat lodge. Well, I go to sweat lodge every now and then. You know, a brother that I know named Kwame in Georgia, he does sweat lodges. And when he puts the stones in the pit, he calls them grandfathers. And in it, they're hot rocks. They're hot, all right? And once the fire burns out, you know what I'm saying, from the stones, they, like, give up something, you know. But the stones are actually alive in that tradition, which I really feel is true, and it gives up, you know, the life force, you know, like that. So stones and crystals and things like that, they are, you know, not just dead, just like the earth, right? We think the earth is this big dead rock swirling in space and da-da-da. No, it's a living ecosystem, you know, like the sun, you know, the living ecosystems. So, you know, we need to look at things maybe in a more, I guess you could say, a more multi-dimensional way, or, you know, I guess maybe for lack of a better word, I'm saying that, but we need to look at things, like, start to look at things a little bit differently, you know, than we used to. You know, we talk about vibration. See, just like I said in the beginning, we take that a lot of times with a grain of salt because we don't always hear everything. Like, I talk about 432 versus 440. You can't even tell the difference, okay? If you listen to one, you can hardly tell the difference, all right? But your subliminal, your subliminally, it knows, you know. Your subconscious mind knows the difference, okay? So it's almost like a dog whistle, right? A dog can hear it, but you can't hear it, okay? Similar concept, you know? Just because we don't perceive certain things don't mean that they don't exist or they're not, you know, that, you know. And when we begin to start to look at, I think, things from a more, or, you know, meditate, that's why meditation is so good, Beverly, you know, because meditation quiets everything down. Okay, so you can start to hear, you know, go in deep and hear. You know what I'm saying? And just so you can sense, you know, things a little bit better. We got so much stuff going around us all the time. You know, take out 15 minutes a day, okay, and just go in for 15 minutes, okay? And then you can start to maybe perceive things a little bit better, you know, overall, you know. I mean, I'm not the best meditator in the world.
But if you listen to the water, if you sit by and listen to the ocean, how the water goes in and comes out, I mean, that's just like the earth breathing. It's like it's like breath. It's like the earth is just breathing in and out and in and out. That's what it feels like.
Right.
Mm.
So
okay.
We can use the breath for purification. Remember how we was taught in that one class that we took, and how he was teaching us how to breathe and put that feel around yourself.
Yeah. And that's very important too, Angel. The breathing is very important. We got to learn how to breathe right too.
Right.
Most of us breathe like fish out of water. And we get that breath going right, that opens up a lot. That takes you to another vibration, too.
See how we mentioned all this stuff about vibration, right? You know? We mentioned so many modalities of vibration. Look how much stuff don't came out in this whole conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it goes past music. That's how it kind of started off, but it's vast. So everything, you know, surrounds vibration and frequencies and tones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you need to pay more attention, I guess, to that, you know, in our reality and the bottom line, to keep our personal vibration high. That will cause us to get through, okay, a lot of stuff. You know,
yeah.
However way, shape, or form we can do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Various ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you asked the question, how do we heighten our vibration? I'm like, wow, that's a large spectrum right there. But
mm-hmm.
you know, there's some more direct ways than others, I guess you can say. You know,
yeah.
Using, like I said, using mantras a lot of times, like use the Om. That Om,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that Om is powerful. Right, I have an Om CD I've had for years, and I listen. I can just be around the house, and all you hear is Om.
That
actually, you know what that does? This is
it vibrates.
That lines up your DNA. That's what that frequency does. It lines up your DNA, and if you put that under what I call the tonoscope, if you put that Om through the tonoscope and you put sand and stuff like that on it, it'll create something called the Sri Yantra. That's the geometric pattern that it will make. And that right there is a, you will see that in India, the Sri Yantra, all over the place. You know, so... What'd you say?
I say Lakshmi.
Lakshmi is a Sri
Yantra,
right?
Lakshmi. Yeah.
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 So that's
what I have a caller.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let me open the line here. 520-762.
Greetings. Greetings. Wonderful show.
Greetings.
Beautiful.
Greetings.
I love it.
Thank you.
This is right up my alley and right down the street, everything. And I live in a metaphysical community. I live in the metaphysical part of the country, actually.
Okay.
And
okay.
I wanted to give a chant, meditation, mantra. It's something that I do before I get on the computer to do things like legal documents and affidavits and things like that. I do
this
before, and it helps it to flow. So it's called the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram. And what I do when I do it, I have my wand. It's right here. I got a bunch of stuff. I have my singing bowl, and I'm holding a it's gypsum. It comes out of a mine right here, but the metaphysical name of it is selenite, starts with an S.
Yes. Okay.
Are you familiar? It's white.
Yes. Yep.
A luminescent color. Yeah, I'm holding it in my hand now,
and I'm
holding it in my right hand. A lot of energy from this. And I mean, and I have prints of, I have Hanuman right here, and Shiva, Anubis.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? A lot of them. Tut, Omiket, the eight immortal goddesses, all of them. But that lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram, hold a piece of crystal in your hand. Get into yourself. You know, burn some sage. You know, whip up the energies around you. Put some demands on the energies. They will come in. They do.
Yes.
They love it. I love this show. Continue. Thank you. I yield the floor. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, peace, sister.
Yeah, that selenite is a cleanser.
Yeah,
that selenite
is a cleanser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd you say? She said selenite?
Selenite.
Yeah.
And there,
yeah,
when we went to the store, I bought two of those wands.
You bought a wand?
The other day. Yep. When we went to a store here in Michigan, it's
right.
called Earth Floor.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I bought two of those that day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have one as well. You know, don't put it in the sun. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Angel? Yeah, don't put that selenite on in the sun. Huh?
No, I put it by my
bed. Why do they say not put it in the sun?
Because selenite is basically a moonstone and it's soft. Mm-hmm. And it stays charged all the time, supposedly. It's not supposed to go in the sun. It's one of the few crystals that's like that. I don't know any other crystal that's like that. But selenite is strange.
Okay.
I didn't even know that at first. I didn't know. You know, yeah. But it'll stay
charged.
Go ahead.
I was going to tell y'all one more stone. The other stone I like, and that it stops negativity or bad energy or evil or whatever, it's called a jet stone. That's
yeah,
one of my
black
favorite
one, right?
stones. Yep.
Yeah, I have one. Yeah, black one. Yeah. Various things. It depends. Now, I mentioned the mantras, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, mantras is a very... Okay, let me... Speaking of rituals, let me get into something. Let's go back a little bit to the music thing. Because remember when, back in the days, we used to party, right? Now, we used to think that we were just having a good time most of the time. But in actuality, parties or whatever you call clubs, discos, whatever, had all the elements of ritual in it. Let me go down the list. We had the music, right? The drum, right? Music, the drum. Okay. We had the dancing. Okay. Dancing, major part of ritual, right? Dancing, drums. Then we had the connection between the male and the female. That's energy right there in itself, very way. Then you had the spirits, which, you know, with the liquor, the drinking, or whatever like that. Then you had the lights in a lot of emphasis, lights, candles, light, or whatever, blue lights, you know, blue lights based on. So what it is overall, because I remember back in the days, I mean, we would be on a dance floor and we would go into like a trance in some instances. The music was good enough. Right? You remember that, Kevin?
I remember.
We were old, so she knows. Yeah. So it was a form of ritual in that sense. You know, so, and it was, and now all of that is gone. We don't even have that anymore. You know, a lot of parties, you know, that are given, you know, maybe in the higher society, stuff like that, they do a lot of their agreements in business, okay, during parties. Because it's part of, the ritual is part of it, and they, you know, talk about stuff and boom, that's the way it is. But that dancing and the music and the synchronicity or whatever between the man and the woman dancing together, we don't do that no more. That's gone now. You don't see the young guys dancing with the young girls no more, all that kind of stuff. That was ritualistic in nature for us. And it was powerful. So that's gone, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, if you're married with your husband, I mean, when if I were a significant other, we dancing, you know, to some old music and stuff like that, we go into our thing. We in our own world. You know? And it's a powerful modality. So I just had to throw that in there, being that we're talking about vibration and ritual and stuff like that.
Right.
But
That was like a mating kind of ritual, because you know how you could dance with somebody And you might not even know that person, but y'all on the floor, he holding you holding him, them vibrations going back and forth, and those feelings hit the going. That was some powerful things back then, powerful vibrations. Y'all people don't know what they missing.
That's right. That's right. They don't know. They don't know what. See, even when I was 13 years old, going to parties in the Bronx, New York, right? At 14, and we used to slow dance back then. It was innocent, okay? But we were slow dancing back then at the house. These kids now, they don't even do that. That's a non-existent thing now. So there's no like embracing with even on an innocent level, not you know all lewd and stuff like that. No, it was innocent. We didn't touch them in you know the wrong places and all that. We had that much respect. We didn't do that, but we did hug and embrace and dance slow. We did that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And we had the music. You know, we had the right tones and stuff like that. Not completely, but you know, we had our Marvin Gaye and we had our you know, all that kind of stuff, which is more real music. But, yeah, and it's a shame that all that is gone. Just like you said, Beverly, the young, they don't have a clue, you know, in essence of what that really was all about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even whether you're slow dancing or you're even dancing fast, because I remember the day Manhattan in New York, I would go to the discos and it was like some kind of fantasy thing in another realm or something like that. You know, I'm not going to say I was all innocent. Yeah, I did my thing back then. But, it was an experience. I'll never forget it, you know, because of the intense, you know, got people everywhere, different vibrations, but everybody came together in a love. It was still about love. Everybody was coming together to have a good time. There was no shooting. There was no wild stuff, you know. And
I kind of see it coming back a little bit because when you look at the people doing the stepping, you know, are doing what we did back in the day. So they twirling each other and they holding hands and they doing, they stepping, you know. So it's trying. It's coming back a lot.
Right. That's the last part of it that you'll see, the stepping, the Chicago stepping we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's the last of it. You probably, you know, you won't see too much of that. Now, they have something, right? You still with me?
Yes.
Okay, they had something, right, that was like an offshoot from that era of dance and disco, right? They shut that down, actually. That's another general. They shut that down. They shut it down a few years, and that's because of the frequency it was making. I'm going to tell you why. They took it over to Europe after it was all over in the 80s. And they call it rave, R-A-V-E, rave, right? Now, rave is a whole bunch of people getting together. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And dancing.
Yeah.
And like a sea of people, right? Now, y'all remember Matrix Part 3?
Yes.
Remember Zion? You remember Zion, right? Zion, what did they do? They partied. That was a big ritual. That's what that was all about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was power energy. Before they went to war or whatever they did, they had a big, like, party. And that was deep. A lot of people didn't catch that. But I knew what it was because of the fact that I remember almost being like that. That looks like back in the days what they doing, you know. But it was a spiritual thing. It wasn't, you know, they just having a good time. They did it for a reason.
Right.
So, vibration again. Here we go. That was a powerful vibration. And it was in unison. It was like they did it together, so they stirred up something by doing that, with the music and the dance and all that. They did it all together. You know, so that's a lot of power. That's a lot of energy, especially if you focus it to one cause.
Yes. And it's powerful, like that sex energy is powerful if you focus it to one cause, too.
Right. And that's what it was. They was very sexual in Zion.
Yeah.
They was doing some serious sexual movements and eroticism and all that kind of stuff. I was like, wow. You know? But rituals, you could create rituals all the time of your own. You know, there's so many different rituals to do. You know, you can just use the basic tenements of ritual and just get creative sometimes. You know, using different things, doing more certain cycles. Like a lot of people on Facebook about. I'm sorry. Yeah?
Oh, no one's saying nothing.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people spoke about when Prince was, you know, I don't want to use the wrong word, but when Prince transitioned, right?
Uh-huh.
They spoke about the time period, right? They spoke about the Beltane, right?
Uh-huh.
But during that time, that's a time to do ritual, in essence. You know what I'm saying? There's a positive aspect to that time period as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that's through a planting or something like that. CD, I forgot what it was. But it's, I think, one of the four Sabbaths or something like that. But
yes,
what is it, cycles?
The Sabbath holiday. Yeah, they have the Sabbath holiday.
The Sabbath
harvest.
Holiday, right.
Yeah.
Right, to do something. Right. And there's time to do certain things. Like, I'm going to give the women a jewel. They say that it's a powerful thing to have an orgasm on the new moon and on the full moon. Okay, for a female. Okay, so that's a very, you know, powerful thing that they did back in the day. I don't know if they still do it now, but yeah. So ritual, we just follow the cycle, observe the basic tenets of nature and stuff like that. When we are in line with those, we can do so much. But we forgot, you know, about the cycles and stuff like that. And it's like we forgot all that.
Hello.
So now we
are. We here.
And we trust.
Angel.
Yes, we here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, using the sun cycle, right? Cassandra.
Did we lose him?
Yes. Go ahead.
No, we here. But you were telling me about using the sun now. Because of the, with the energy transpired.
Oh, yeah, using the sun, right, because the moon cycle is out, okay, in actuality. But we can still use the moon. It's not wrong with it, but we're leaning toward using more of the sun energies and rays and stuff like that. Do your ritual during the daytime. Okay, we're accustomed to doing everything at night when it comes to rituals a lot of times. But I think that we need to switch that more toward the solar type of rituals, which deal start off with sun gazing. Now, there's also a ritual you can do that when you bow, okay, to. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
We hear an echo kind of in the back. Do you have your radio on or something?
I still have an echo right now. Hold on.
No, I think it's not. And speaking of moon, we have a full moon on May the 21st. We're down to 7 minutes. And, Kasim, I want you to be able to give the people how they can reach you.
Okay. All right. My email address is RAATON. 3x3@yahoo.com, and I don't feel the way about getting my number out. My phone is 704-631-8448. Anybody, you know, want any questions, having a question for me personally, or maybe want some information on, you know, how to get certain things, or a little bit more of what I do, feel free to contact me. No problem.
Mm-hmm. and
really well. But I enjoyed being on the show. You know, I enjoyed speaking with y'all and, you know, going into some things, you know, concerning vibration, because, you know, I really, you know, appreciate what you do, you know, Beverly, as far as, you know, having people on. You know, I listen to, you know, some people on your show every now and then, you know, because it's about, you know, everybody has a piece of the puzzle, you know.
Yes,
everybody
exactly.
has some information
exactly.
to share,
exactly.
you know, and we should,
yes.
you know, whenever we have the time, you know, share the, you know, the knowledge that we have. You know, we're all family. You know, we can talk. I feel, you know, family with y'all. I can talk. I can be open with y'all, you know what I'm saying, and
mm-hmm.
just speak my
mm-hmm.
mind. And that's what it's all about.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we
all right, peace, family. Just going to open up the lines. The number, 515-605-9354, and press the 1. Okay, if you want to go live, you got about 15 minutes left in the show. That was a rebroadcast from the Beverly D Show, for those who may not be aware of that, okay, a couple of months back. And we're speaking on vibrations, frequencies, rituals, and things of that nature. And you know, it was a show that that was sitting at this time during Black History Month. And as I mentioned before, in 2 weeks from now, I'm gonna do a special show dedicated solely to rap music, which is a genre that's been around for about over 30 years, hard. And it's a genre that, you know, is definitely still around. We all know what has happened to it, but it's making a comeback. And that's what we're going to go into, you know, how it's making a comeback in a positive way to influence us in a more positive way. Because now is a time where we need that energy to come back. And I'm going to put together a good show in reference to that, that connection with the spirit, you know, the empowering side of rap music, not the destructive side. So let me get into that. So again, tomorrow night, okay, we're going to have Brother Eddie on. Brother Eddie's got a Black History show lined up that you might want to you know, listen to, you know, very informative brother dealing with numerology and things of that nature. I enjoy doing this from time to time, and hopefully you have enjoyed the show. So until next time, this is Hassan, and the show is called Spiritual Alchemy on every other Thursday. So peace and love, family. Enjoy, you know, take care of yourself, and be empowered. Peace and love.